The interview.
After a very tragic homicide, a pair of homicides stemming from a stalking incident, the police chief out of Redmond is saying more needs to be done to protect these victims and really to go after these accused stalkers. Joining me on the line is Redmond Police Chief Daryl Lowe. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again, Jason.
So this is a somewhat rare occurrence, at least here in Washington, certainly in Redmond, where you've got someone who was accused of stalking a couple that lived in your city. He ends up coming from Texas where he lived. He committed this murder, according to the police. Where do things stand from your perspective as it relates to victims of stalkers?
Well, this is the most tragic outcome of any type of stalking case. Mm-hmm. And right now there's a bill before the legislature to change both the stalking and cyber stalking law to make it easier for investigators and prosecutors to pursue protective orders on behalf of the victims. So I think we're at the cusp of something that can be very beneficial for our communities and for Washington State as a whole.
So under the current law, you basically, if you're the victim of a stalking, you have to prove that you feel fear that you're going to be injured under this new and other things, obviously. But under this new law, it would change that standard to simply saying this is causing me significant emotional distress. But here's my question. How do you prove that? I know the concern is it's hard to prove that you fear for injury. Isn't it equally difficult to say that you have substantial distress? How do you even define that?
So I think what it does for the victim and for the process itself, the fear is real. Yeah. And oftentimes in these cases, the stalker is doing things that causes this emotional and psychological trauma, i.e. fear, for the victim. And I think that in this rewrite of the law actually acknowledges that very critical point. The suspect still has due process. So there is still the opportunity for that individual to, I'll say, defend themselves if that is even possible. But again, this tips the scale, if you will, to the side of the victim and to the side of law enforcement to allow us to intervene and protect victims in these particular cases.
Well, and something you've said in the past when talking about this particular incident, and I think it bears repeating, simply getting a protective order, oftentimes, when we're dealing with a certain type of stalker, doesn't really matter in the sense that it's not going to protect you should they want to do you harm.
Correct. I did state that, a protective order is just a piece of paper. However, it is critically important to the process because it is that piece of paper that allows law enforcement to take enforcement action against an individual if they violate that protective order. So it's critically important for victims to cooperate with investigators and with prosecutors to seek protective orders so that we can, in fact, keep them safe.
Under this new law that you're backing, is it what have you seen under the current law that suggests that we need to have a revision? Meaning, are you seeing or are we statewide seeing a significant number of people who just aren't able to meet the current bar in order to get protection?
Correct. As I understand it, the number of cases prosecuted versus the number of cases reported is significantly low. I don't recall the exact numbers that the bill's author quoted in her testimony, but it was definitely less than 100 cases that have been brought forward for prosecution. And there are, many more thousands that get reported. So this change in the law, again, tips the scales in favor of the victim to allow them to, seek the protection that they deserve in these cases.
And not that I dismiss the number or dispute the number, I will say I wonder how much is due to plea deals. And I say this from personal experience. I didn't have a stalker, but did have to get a protective order against someone who was sending me death threats. And it happened in Seattle. They ended up basically coming to a plea agreement. So it didn't actually go to a court. I wonder if that plays a role in at least some of the numbers. And the only reason I ask that is I just I don't want people to get the impression under the current law, let's say this new law doesn't go anywhere, that they don't have options. It might be less ideal, I guess, than the new law, but there are still at least options out there, and there might be context to understand some of the numbers. Do you think that there could potentially be any unintended consequences of making this process a little bit easier?
Sure. I think there are always unintended consequences or unrecognized consequences when we have changes and modifications to laws. But at the same time, I think for the greater good, the law should be changed in accordance with the bill that's been brought forward.
Well, we don't have that much time left, so we'll know relatively quickly whether or not this moves forward. We've been talking with Redmond Police Chief Daryl Lowe. Thank you so much for coming on. I always appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you too.
Thank you. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.